Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball. Actually, we were talking earlier in the show about these movies, you know, movies that everybody's meant to have seen and they haven't seen. We all have them. Alison, what's yours?
I did mention this before. I've never seen Titanic.
Oh!
Because
me neither. That's my one.
That's your
one.
I actually felt that it might be yours as well. I don't know why. But it's like, we know what happens, right?
I mean, you know what? Come on.
We know what happens. Why would you watch any movie
across the barricades?
I've seen Godfather 2. I've seen Godfather, just like, that's it. Like the
first one.
Yeah. So that's
okay.
Pretty bad.
That is bad.
2 is pretty good.
Yeah, I should go to it. That's what I'll watch tonight.
So Titanic is the most popular of the movies that you're meant to have seen that people haven't seen, actually.
Oh, okay. So we're
and
not
then,
unique.
But it's tied first with Avatar.
Oh, I
never
seen,
seen.
Have you not
no.
seen that either?
No.
Oh, I saw that.
No interest in seeing Avatar.
Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Seen Forrest Gump, yeah.
Clockwork Orange?
Yeah.
12 Angry Men?
Yeah.
No.
12 Angry Men's pretty good.
Jaws?
The remake, not so good.
Of course, Jaws.
Yeah okay.
Several
and then
times.
We're not going to keep going then. It's a long, long list. There's a thousand movies on it.
I've seen a Marvel movie for the first time just recently because Captain America was out and I brought the kids to that. And before that, I'd never seen it.
Were you blown away?
I'm not drawn to Marvel either.
It's like, they're actually not bad. I thought I might...
Is it the moment Harrison Ford?
Yeah, he's terrible. So they turn him into the Hulk. And he's like...
What?
I'm 78 years of age. It's like, oh no, sorry, that's...
83.
Anyway. Wikipedia.
I heard him being asked about that in an interview though, but like, did he feel silly? And his answer was, did you hear this? His answer was... So I hate to burst your bubble, but that's what all the money is for.
Yeah.
The list of people who are in the Marvel movies, you're like, oh, all those like very serious actors who've done, you know, hunting for the Oscars. I'm like, ka-ching. Yeah,
that's what it is. Money.
Yeah, fair play to them.
Anyway, so those movies. Would you go back and watch other Marvel movies?
I wouldn't be averse to watching some of them now in a way that previously I would have been like, why is this? Get out. No, stop this. Now I'd be like, oh, okay.
Not me.
I've seen all those movies in that list, except I haven't seen The Sound of Music. That's always my one at Christmas.
Oh,
people always,
we've
you know,
watched it well, as kids. We would watch it.
Yeah, because it's
year.
The type of thing people watch a lot.
Yeah.
And I've seen it start to finish. It's very long.
Yeah, I've never seen it full stop.
It's very. It reminds me of Christmas Out.
I'm not sure if I've seen a single scene from it.
You
would have seen
probably if it came on. I might say, oh, I remember vaguely bits of
my
this.
My sister and I loved quoting it all the time growing up.
Yeah, no, never watched it.
And I'm anyway. Not into musicals. It literally is a musical.
Anyway. Right, Alison, who's your sinner of the week then? Or your winner of the week, let's start with.
My winner is Micro Happiness. So Sophie White wrote about this in the Indo. The Guardian did it as well. So it's basically maybe tying in with your sinner, Jer, but it's like I'm kind of overwhelmed by news in the last 2 weeks in particular. And like just everything seems just a little shade of gray, actually, my worldview. And I'm normally quite an optimistic person. So Sophie White wrote about this and loads of people have. It's like the micro happiness. So things that you can find in your day-to-day life that do elevate you. And it's not like finding money. It's like it's more exchanges or like with your app for certain stores and you go to buy a pair of shoes and it is included in women's wear 20% off. Like that's a micro happiness. And just those little moments that elevate you. It's like, you know, you buy something nice to eat or just those things to kind of help you get through things that seem, everything seems quite overwhelming right now. I have to be honest, it does. And so it's just those little moments of joy and to like savor them. And part of it is like, you know, finding joy on behalf of other people. So like if you guys had little micro happiness things happen
to
this
share.
Week. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, sharing the joy, being happy for you brings you joy. So it's just spreading.
Here's a new car, for example.
Yeah,
exactly. Happiness for all of us.
That made me so happy for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, yeah. MG VIP sales event on this weekend. Great deals on the MG4, the sponsors of the Hard Shoulder.
Oh, he's going to take us for a spin later.
So but the bar seems very low there.
No, it is. It's,
well, it's just like you kind of just said eating.
No.
Nice things.
Eating nice
things. It's just
things.
But it's just like if something happens that you go, oh, I'm so glad that worked out. Like, just like, you know, you don't get any red lights on the way into work, or just nice things, or someone's really kind to you and they go, yeah, like let you into the traffic, or someone smiles, or a compliment. Like just those little things that can elevate you. It's kind of putting more importance on that instead of going, I can't hear Trump's voice anymore already.
So don't overlook the little things.
Yeah, exactly. So micro happiness. Mm. So like Joan came home from school and you know, had a really lovely story about a gang that involves your daughter as well, actually. And they did something really nice. And like, she got like all
the gang that involves your daughter. I thought it was going to be a great story.
Well, you know the story. And they got like the extra VS, whatever those point systems are. And like, you're delighted that she got like all these points for good behavior. So like, they're little things to be celebrated, I think, because you can be overwhelmed by that stuff.
Well, then this actually brings us on not to your winner, Jer, but to your sinner.
Yeah, just the creeping sense of existential dread.
Yep.
Friends of mine are on Goodreads.
The big sinner.
They're reviewing the Weimar Republic books, you know, like these big weighty tomes about what it was like to live in the 20s and 30s in Germany. Mm. And I've actually heard loads of people talking about this. Is this what it was like? You're just watching the news and all the time it's like, oh, we're ratcheting up. There's a row. There's fights all over the world breaking out that haven't quite broken out. There's like, we live in a time of perpetual war and and we're being distracted by scanners. And it's just I can't. Now, it didn't help.
You guys can't take a break from it. At least my show is fluffy. You guys can't take a break from it. It's like overwhelming.
Yeah.
I thought sport was a refuge, but anyway.
It's not, no.
I think it's connected to the fact that the weather has been so abysmal. Like the perpetual darkness that we've been in since last November has not been helping anybody's moods.
Longer than that, Jer. Last summer was poxy. The weather was terrible. Last spring was really wet.
How do you remember this?
Because lots of farmers didn't get spring barley into the ground last spring as well. People will remember that. Alison, you should remember that.
I should.
And the weather as well, the summer before, was also wet. We've had two really wet summers. Because
I don't even remember yesterday.
Anyway, we've had two really wet summers. And I just think that is, we underestimate what a drag that is.
Yeah.
I also used to find refuge in like some time spent on Instagram, but now I've just totally become addicted to it where there's no, it's just like flick, 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 flick. What's going on?
Yeah. But are the things that you're looking at on Instagram with all your flicks, are they sparking joy? Micro joys.
Like little bits of, it's cooking and gardening and some dogs. And anytime anybody mentions anything, it comes up on my Instagram. It's almost as if the phone is listening. No, we're definitely not listening to you.
Yeah. You're going to get a 20% discount in women's wear.
Yeah.
And a car.
But does it actually bring down your mood?
Definitely.
The sense of existential 100%. Doom.
But like, so we'd gotten in the habit of watching the news with the kids and can't do that anymore. You just can't. It's like...
No.
I do remember when we were kids, the threat of nuclear war seemed almost imminent, right? It was like, because of the way the news was reported, it was only one news bulletin a day, and it was always like, oh, Russia has nuclear weapons, America has nuclear weapons, and there was war in, you know, Israel and the West Bank and Palestine. Maybe nothing's changed. Maybe we're just overwhelmed because you can't switch it off.
Yeah.
Because of the omnipotence of social media.
Because like we used to go to social media for like downtime and now, or, you know, obviously getting ideas for your show. But now it is that sense of like kind of, it's just constant now.
Yeah. I think what I find kind of dispiriting, because you mentioned Trump, is how little we seem to have learned from the first time out. In terms of the reaction to everything he says, we're allowing him to kind of, what did they say, flood the zone with all this kind of madness.
Yeah.
And everybody's reacting kind of with equal madness in the opposite direction.
Well, like
as opposed to just going, ugh, like,
the difference.
There's a degree to which you can kind of ignore some of this, or not ignore it, but try and maybe work out exactly what's actually going on here.
Pretty sure I listened to a piece on this show where you were talking to somebody who pointed out that they didn't expect to win the first time. This time they had everything ready to go. They know exactly what they're doing in terms of what their plans are. And again, like...
Oh, sorry, yeah. No, I think it is different in that sense. But what I mean is things like...
Also, he can't get
Do you think Donald Trump wants or really imagines a Gaza Strip with a huge golden statue of Donald Trump in it and he's like sunbathing topless with Benjamin Netanyahu? I don't think he does. I think he wants the Jordanians and the Egyptians to get much more involved in what happens there in the future. But yet we kind of, I just find we're kind of all reacting on a surface level to everything. And I just think that kind of adds to the chaos.
Definitely, right. But I kind of have managed mostly to ignore that tiny micro story, because you do genuinely worry about the possibility of a global conflict at the moment.
Yeah.
What's happening with Russia and NATO and America and Britain pretending to be friends, but like, what? Where does that all go? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think anybody who predicts confidently that actually it's all going to be fine is... You know, I think maybe... Yeah.
I do worry about the ramping up in defence spending thing.
Definitely.
And it's all over the place.
And I like, from a rational point of view, you get it. Like, particular, you know, I do get it, like, particularly the argument made, say, from an Irish context, you know, that you don't have sonar or radar and you can't see what's in the sky or under the water and all of that. And it makes sense to invest in all these things. But it's just that...
Does it?
It kind of...
It's scary,
well,
though.
It does to a degree, because...
But if we can see it, are we going to spend the billions then to have the gear that shoots it down?
No, like, but I guess, like, let's say the fiber optic cables or whatever.
Yeah. And then
you're less likely
to
kind of interfere with those fiber optic cables if you know that somebody is watching you, as it were, to kind of put it really simply. Put it that way. You know what I mean? Or when a Russian plane turns its transponder off in Irish skies, the RAF...
Yeah,
respond to it, because we don't have a radar that goes, oh, no, we can still see it. It's just there. Yeah. And they want to know where it's going. They're not protecting us. They're protecting themselves, the Brits. Mm. But they want to know where it's going. So they, like, and I just think that's all a bit mental. Whereas if we just had a radar, you just go, yeah, no, we can still see it.
Yeah.
He turned off his transponder, but
you know, like a ring on your door, basically.
A big ring doorbell for the country.
Yeah.
You press the button.
Now,
hello,
that
we can see you.
Exactly. I don't know if that's good or bad. I can't tell. I'm sorry.
No, but sorry, what was I getting to? Oh, the kind of, is it Maslow's hammer? You know, to a hammer, the whole world looks like a nail. And it's just, you know, if you have something, you're going to use it.
Well, that's the whole point.
That's what I kind of worry about.
Let's buy these fighter jets. Well, who are we going to, we'll accidentally fly them over British airspace and suddenly a war happens. I've just seen Strangelove. I don't know if you were at it or not, but like, oh, we've accidentally, one rando decides to go off piste and suddenly,
but we kind of gleefully lecture Americans about kind of gun ownership and how just having guns makes you more likely to use them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We kind of wag the finger and say, how stupid are they? And then we're having this whole conversation about let's massively ramp up our defence spending. And again, irrationally, I kind of understand the arguments, but that's what kind of worries me, that the same logic, if the same logic applies, we're in trouble.
And it's happening all over the world at the same time. So,
Oh, God. Anyway.
There you
Happy
go.
Friday. We haven't even gotten to my sinner yet.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Well, it better be uplifting.
It's
somehow uplifting. Anyway. So, Alison, who's your sinner of the week?
TikTok.
So okay.
We're kind of keeping with this vein of all things scary. But it's just, it's kind of come down now. But during the week, it was a big trend of people deciding, mostly young people, to do this challenge called dropping things on your foot. And they were just getting bigger and more ridiculous, like vacuums and toasters and glass jars and things like that, to see what their pain tolerance, their threshold would be. So obviously, TikTok is very attractive to young, impressionable people. Not all young people are impressionable, but, you know.
What did Joan do?
No, she definitely didn't. And, you know, doctors were kind of coming online going, like, look, this could cause permanent nerve damage, all this kind of stuff. Like, what's happening? But for me, I'm sorry, we're so down today, but I'm like, okay, we used to have to, like forage for food and fight for survival, and now we're so bored with our lives we've decided to put these obstacles
on
into our lives and cause ourselves permanent like the dumbing down. It's just like I give up. Sorry, we're so negative. But it's thankfully a lot of those videos have come down and the hashtag's been removed as well, but it's just like, where did that start? Whose idea was that originally? People just want to get clicks and views, and just went, like, it just, to me, it's just insanity. It's
yeah.
Like, go out and like learn an actual skill or survival skill, or, you know, learn to knit or something. Please stop dropping vacuums on your toes. Like, it's just crazy.
You wonder sometimes if these trends, like the person who started it just did it as a gag.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? It was like, I can't believe they're all doing it.
Yeah.
Look at these people.
It's amazing.
Look what they're dropping.
Yeah.
Look what they've escalated it to. What's the maddest thing they've dropped on their foot?
I think a guy did do a vacuum. Somebody did a TV set, like a
one of the old ones.
Oh.
Yeah, like
can't be at that.
and like jumped around in agony and filmed it. You're just
there's
like,
a better
oh
way,
God.
Surely, to like test your pain tolerance.
I mean, why do you need to test your pain tolerance?
Yeah, why would you?
Like, for a TikTok trend.
Have a child. Let's test your pain tolerance.
Dislocated right, okay. shoulder apparently is
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's worse.
It's the only thing that men have experienced ever. That is
really. My brother's adamant kicking the balls is worse because nobody ever asked for a second one. You know. Sorry, don't like shoot the messenger.
I suspect
William Cuddihy. If anybody has an issue
he's
with
it, hanging you. He's
yeah,
hanging
yeah,
William.
Exactly.
I bet you on social media there are multiple instances. Was that not part of Jackass? Was that not a regular?
Yeah, well, that's it.
You know?
Yeah.
I think there's people who pay money for people to do that actually every Saturday yeah. night. Anyway. Maybe my brother knows all about it. I'm hanging him in that sense too.
Well, our future Instagram feeds have now been ruined totally.
Yeah, they're listening. They're listening. The algorithm is listening.
No more quinoa recipes for me.
Yeah. All right. So, Ger, who's your winner of the week then?
Emma Raducanu, right? So, Emma Raducanu shot to prominence as a qualifier winner of the US Open a number of years ago at this stage, and her career has been largely stop-start since. But she became an overnight global celebrity, and she's made about $4.5 million in prize money, probably many times multiples of that as a brand ambassador for some of the biggest luxury brands in the world.
Yeah,
and she's had a lot of criticism. You know, it's very stereotypical young English person in the media, absolute superstar, and then very quickly chopped down. You know, if she fails at any point, it's like what a loser. She is the daughter of a Romanian dad and a Chinese mother mm-hmm. who, she's spoken about this before, both communist countries, so education was their way out. I think they lived in Canada for a while. She was
yeah,
actually born there.
I actually thought she was Canadian. I didn't realise she was British.
Dual citizenship, yeah. Canada, and moved to England at the
Andy
age of
Roddick.
Two. And,
no, it was Andy Roddick. Yeah, it was Andy Roddick, was it? No, he was American. Greg Rosetsky is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
yeah.
He turned
both strong-jawed North Americans. That was what mixed me up.
Strong or slack? Anyway, yeah.
Ouch.
She, last week, in the middle of a match, went over to the umpire and said that, started crying, basically, that a man exhibiting fixated behaviour is how it has been reported. And I've been trying to find out exactly what happened. This is in Dubai. So he got ejected.
Stalkery kind of stuff.
Totally stalker, yeah.
Was he already not... Did she... She knew him from before, from a stalking incident, right?
It seemed like this yeah. wasn't the first time that had happened. He'd left a note for her. And so he has now signed a barring order, a restraining order, and she's dropped charges. But the level of difficulty that people in the public eye, particularly young women, have, like, she's 22 now and she has to deal with this as well
yeah.
as all of the other stuff.
It was awful to see when she went behind the umpire chair. It was awful.
Oh, she's crying.
Oh, it was
yeah.
awful. Yeah.
She's back this week in Indian Wells playing. And I think, you know, we'll never know the difficulty that it is for her just to go and do her job. They're talking about 5 paid security extra on top of the security that would already, bear in mind, tennis had Monica Seles be stabbed in Hanover in Germany 30 years ago by a fixated German fan of Steffi Graf. And so tennis knows that it yeah. needs to protect, but still couldn't protect in Dubai. And here she is this week showing up, playing. And I just think it's, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, it's tennis. How difficult is it? It's psychological, blah, blah, blah. But actually, that is proper. You're not going to stop me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And also, tennis is awesome and fun.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Who's against tennis? Are they crazy?
It's what's awful. Sorry, I know this is our winner and we want it to be uplifting. But what's also awful is, you know, like all those extra layers of security that create more and more barriers between her and the fans. Like that's as well. That's like grist to the mill of the people who try to pull her down. Because yeah. it kind of part of the narrative there is she's way too big for a boot. You know yeah. what I mean? Kind of yeah. fluke win. She's not that good. Why are people fussing over her? You know, that's the narrative. And I know she's had lots of injuries. That's kind of partly the issue she's had since then.
Yeah, and she's fallen out with a lot of coaches. And,
yeah. But you know what I mean? That they love that. They love the image of
totally.
Her kind of flanked by kind of bodyguards.
Yeah.
It's like, look at her now. Look, she's way too big for her boot. Anyway, yeah. She's a worthy winner of the week. So, listen, after all the existential doom, we need a kind of an uplifting yeah. sign off for things. You have an uplifting podcast, Ger, to recommend.
Dishing It Out. It's the podcast with the chefs, Gareth Mullins and Gary O'Hanlon. I've been binging this for the last couple of weeks. It's great. Their chemistry is great. Mm-hmm. They have restaurateurs in who come in and are kind of just the right level of bitchy and gossipy. And
yep.
the two lads bring it out from whoever their guests are. So if you like food or if you eat.
And do they, is it about food that they'd give recipes and stuff?
They do that, but largely in passing. You know, it's hints and tips, and you feel like there's no way that this is going to last a full hour, but actually, so they'll have guests in, and sometimes they don't have guests in, and sometimes the weeks when they don't have guests in are just as good, if not better.
Yeah.
And there's loads of ones you're like, oh, I'm not going to like this, and then somebody starts telling their food story, and it's pretty remarkable. So, but yeah, it's, and they take the piss out of each other very well.
Yeah.
So
they work well.
A strong
together.
Recommend.
I don't really know Gareth, but Gary's in The Odd Time on the Hard Shoulder, and I find him really fascinating. The lives that kind of high-end chefs like him have are incredible. Like the places they've seen, the people they've cooked for.
Yeah.
Like I'd say the stories he can't tell you are just, that, like, that's what you want.
Yeah. And so you do.
I want him to reach that point in his career where he starts telling them because he doesn't care anymore.
You get those where there's no name of the person who's in, but it's like it was 30 grand a night for the place.
In France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
We're never going.
He was saying that Paris kind of fancies itself, but London's the real restaurant capital of the world.
Okay.
That's Gary's.
I have heard him say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says that's where you really want to go and ply your trade, more so than Paris.
Right. That's
I just remember one time I was on the mid-morning show in between as an interim whatever manager of that time slot, and he came in at Christmas time and made us really
welcome to the mid-morning show. I'm the interim manager of this time slot.
This guy and these two, but he made us really strong eggnogs, and I had honestly about half a mouthful, and I was like, "Whoa!" And the world was like, "Ooh!" And I was like, "I don't think I should do that."
So dishing it out,
That's
the name of the podcast. It's the sunshine you want to celebrate.
It's all happening. So today, this very day, the sun is staying out until after 6 o'clock, and which is
stayed out until after six o'clock.
And basically, it's going to be that way until October. So the longer evenings are officially here. Although Kilkenny was ahead of the crew. So you're 1806. You were 1806 for the last 2 days that the sun set.
Yeah, noticed that.
Yeah. Actually, sorry. Cork was 1812. So
how does that
Dublin's
work?
18, just the where we are, Dublin's 1801 today. And it's just going to extend and extend and extend. And it just, it's.
It does feel better.
You drive home now in your fancy vehicle. It's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter.
Yeah.
And it just lifts the mood.
Definitely. Yeah. We need it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. But I do. I love the, it's not the 6 o'clock one. I love when I leave the time it gets
in the morning. Point.
Well, no, when I leave here at night at 7 o'clock,
yeah.
And you get into the, and I drive out of the car park and it's bright. I'm like, oh yes, driving home in the bright.
Yeah.
So I get up early in the morning and it's there's just a crack of light coming through at the moment, which feels good. But
yeah.
There's actually a brilliant 3 weeks. And then they kill it by
the clock.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
That's nonsense.
That doesn't bother me now.
Well,
used to, when I did the breakfast show, I hated that chair. But now I don't care.
I moved on.
Anyway, any plans this weekend?
Working.
Oh, yeah.
It's all good, though. All good.
Your kids do
so many things.
How do I even remember what's next?
Would you watch Titanic this weekend?
No.
Absolutely not. No.
Would you have any interest? Any interest in watching
really.
It? No.
Not really.
I mean, I know what the whole story is now.
Stop. You can't say, that's like, Alison said that too. You can't not watch Titanic because you know what happens.
I'm going to watch Godfather 2.
You've watched a movie set against the backdrop of the war.
Is it good?
You know the Germans aren't going to win.
It did win a lot of Academy Awards at the time.
I know, but they were showing the Academy when Crash won Best Movie and it beat Brokeback Mountain and the whole of the tournament. Really?
Or what was the other one? Shakespeare in Love. What did that beat? That beat something really well known as well.
I saw about 20 minutes of Shakespeare in Love recently and it's terrible.
It is really, really bad.
You know what you should rewatch though? I'm just thinking of our daughters of a certain age, Princess Bride.
We just did.
Well, yeah. Good.
Yeah. That's good.
Oh, amazing.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
All
right. Your family this weekend.
Right, great. It's too late in the show now. Someone's going to text in and tell me what Shakespeare in Love beat to the Oscar. But anyway, maybe I'll get to it on Monday. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, Jorge Gilroy from Off the Ball. Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.